My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenais. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.
Texting between two different kinds of phones makes photos blurry, ugly, and security risky. Not just that. It also makes video calling, editing messages, or leaving a group nearly impossible. With WhatsApp, everyone can enjoy seamless messaging with the protection of end-to-end encryption. Streamline your messages across all devices on WhatsApp. Message privately with anyone you want. Click the banner or download now to learn more.
Hello, survivalists. This is The Crux True Survival Stories. I'm your host, Casey McIntosh, and today we are joined by the lovely Melanie Stubbs of Australia. Melanie is one of our dedicated listeners who reached out to us with her story of being attacked by a kangaroo in the Australian outback. I do apologize for some less than ideal audio circumstances and possibly the occasional kid sound in the background. We're having some tech issues. Despite that, I really enjoyed my conversation with Melanie, and I hope you do too. Melanie, tell me about how you found the Crux podcast. What introduced you to us to begin with?
I work as a house cleaner. Uh-huh. So I clean people's houses. And do you know when you've been listening to the radio, it's like the same songs over and over and over. Anyway, my mum got me onto audiobooks. So I started listening to a few of them, and I like kind of true crime. I've listened to Ted Bundy and the Green River Murders and all that. And then I'm like, oh, what can I listen to? Something a bit more interesting. So I just happened to look through, I think I just looked through Survival or something like that. And I was listening to a different podcast, but I couldn't go back and listen to old episodes of that. Then I found yours. And yeah, I mean, I reckon I've listened to all of them twice. I love them. They're just good. Stories to listen to. I love it.
Oh, I love that you love it, because you know, on this end of things, sometimes you're putting these things together and wondering if anyone actually is listening or cares, because you just have no way of knowing.
Yeah, I care so
I appreciate it.
No, I love them.
As long as there's at least one person in the world that's listening, you know, that's enough. Yeah. For me.
That's me. So when you have doubts, just picture my little face and you'll go, well, we know she's listening.
I will do that. I absolutely will do that. That's awesome. How do you like my laundry room? That's where I'm attempting to record this.
I was going to say, are you in the laundry?
I'm in the laundry room.
I can see you washing the thing.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm so glad that you found us. And that was just randomly. It was like a Spotify, just something that popped up.
Yeah. Just, I was just looking for something to listen to. And I'm like, oh, because I listened to one or two. I'm like, oh, I like all this sort of stuff. So, yeah, it was great.
That's so awesome.
I love the outdoors, so I like listening to that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I don't even know really why I started doing this. It just, the stories, these outdoor kind of stories have always really inspired me. And part of it, too, is I know that there's a happy ending. You know, there can be a lot of angst, and like you could be on the edge of your seat, but you know that the hero will survive.
Exactly. That's right.
Because I can't handle suspense very well. I'm one of these people. I'm like this watching the TV, like.
Oh, me too. I'm terrible. If something's a bit scary, I'll watch it through the cracks.
Yes.
I don't like to see the full screen.
Yeah, and even if it's something where it's just like emotional and it doesn't even have to do with the life or death situation, I will still be doing the same thing. Like, I can't handle it very well. So it's kind of ridiculous. But tell me a little bit about you. So you clean houses and you listen to podcasts. Yes. We know that. We know that you live in Australia.
Yes. I live in Sydney. We're about 45 minutes drive from the city of Sydney. So we're in the southwest. We're close to our main town is Campbelltown, which is near us. And yeah, I was actually born in England and we came to Australia when I was only 6 months old.
Oh.
So I've basically lived in Australia all my life. So, yeah.
I was going to say, you don't have an English accent at all. So it's definitely more Australian.
No, I'm 6 months old.
So I would say that the people in the United States are enamored with an Australian accent. Like, does it sound weird to hear Americans? Do you feel like we sound weird? Yeah, a little bit.
Well, let's just say we often have a laugh at the way you say things.
I love that. Well, even
like I hate hearing my own voice. Like, I feel like my voice is terrible when it's recorded. I don't know what it sounds like to you, but. Yeah,
I think
feel like we speak fast.
Everybody feels that way when they hear their voice recorded. I think that's a normal thing. Yeah.
I've gotten used to your voice because I hear it all the time. So I, you know, it sounds normal to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure mine sounds terrible for
Again,
some reason.
You have that Australian accent, which all Americans are enamored by. So I don't think that you can really go wrong.
Right.
Yeah, there's no going wrong. It's totally fine. Just sound cool.
That was what led me to contact you because I thought, I know Americans love Australian stories about Australian wildlife. So I thought, why not?
Why not? Right. I mean, I think it's great that you did. I love the fact that you reached out to us because it makes you feel like, okay, there's someone out in the world that is actually, you know, like along for the ride, whatever that might look like.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is the outdoor, like, what does it look like there? What is the outdoor scene? What do you do? How do you recreate?
Okay, so my son is a Boy Scout. So we love to camp and we go hiking a fair bit, my son and I. My husband doesn't. He does not like the outdoors. But so it's just Robert's my son. He and I, we go. We just had a week camping in the recent school holidays, so that was great. And we like to camp, like, no electricity, you know, like proper camping, which you guys probably do too. So
right, yeah.
Yeah.
So what does your husband do while you're out adventuring?
He sits there just, I don't know, he loves computing, so he's always on the computer doing stuff. He's a bit of a couch potato, actually.
So he just likes to hang out and do the computer work and you and your son get to go outdoors.
Yeah. He's a PE teacher, physical education teacher.
Oh, really?
So he loves sport and he loves American football, actually. He's always watching American football and basketball. Loves it.
Well, you should bring him to the United States and do a, you know, multifunctional trip where he can watch a football game and you get to do some outdoor stuff.
And we'll go out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That'd be perfect. You'll have to find somewhere where you get the best of both worlds.
Exactly right. We'll find him a big screen television and we'll go hiking.
Yeah, right? That would work. I'm really glad that your son took after you and likes to do things outdoors with you. So you're not doing
me
it all
too.
By yourself.
Yeah, me too.
So tell me, how did you come in contact with the kangaroos so close? Well, what's your experience with kangaroos in general? Like, are they just like hopping all around or... How often are you seeing a kangaroo?
No, so you don't see them generally. You might, if you were driving and it was a bit of like, not outback, we're not in the outback, but if it was a bit of a bush type area, what you would call woodland, I guess, then you might see some in a group. But no, generally, day to day, you will never see a kangaroo where we live. They don't generally come near you. The only time you see them is at a zoo or a wildlife park or something like that. So I had not really seen one in the wild before, so to speak, just from a distance from the car if you're driving along. In the afternoon, you might see a heap of them in a field somewhere, but not in the suburbs. They're not like, we don't see them in day-to-day life. So that was why this one was, we were interested because this one seemed like it was really tame, this kangaroo.
Okay.
It was right near the fence where we were walking, you see. So, but it was there, we found out, because its baby was stuck in the fence and that's why the mother was hanging around.
Oh, that's so stressful.
Yeah.
The reason I was asking you about kangaroos being around is that, like, where I live, there's a whole bunch of elk and deer and they're just everywhere. They're all over the place.
Wow.
And also wild turkeys everywhere. So
wow.
Yeah.
Now the only wildlife we see is the you know, the local cats and dogs in the neighborhood. That's about it.
Well, at least there's no predators. There's not a lot of predators.
No predators.
Yeah, I was walking my dog a few weeks ago, and a mountain lion came right onto the road about 300 feet away from me and made eye contact with me. And I was wondering,
what did you do?
I just stood there. I had bear spray in my hand. I don't know. Are you familiar with bear spray? Because some people have no idea what that's a thing.
I've heard you speak about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. No, so, we don't live in a remote area at all. We're at suburban. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It looked at me for about 3 seconds and I looked right at it. It was thinking the same thing I was thinking, like, what is this person going to do? Is it going to come after me or what? And then it just retreated into the forest and I didn't see it again, but it was a little bit startling.
Yeah. That reminds me of that lady that was bicycling.
Right.
The mountain lion took her.
I know. Yeah.
Wow.
Terrifying.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
Oh,
I was actually
absolutely.
Not. What's weird is I didn't feel afraid in the moment. But then when I'm going out to do anything, when I'm walking the dog or I'm riding my bike, or it makes me think, huh, I know that they're out there now. You know, now I saw one.
Yeah. 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 Don't take it for granted that they're actually not. Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Oh,
yeah. So anyway, go on with your story, though. So you saw the kangaroo. Who were you with on this particular day? Were you with friends?
There was Robert and myself, and then there were two friends of mine and their children. So we were kind of like a little group of mums where none of the husbands like doing the outdoorsy stuff, so the mums do it with the kids, you know. So, and these two girls, they were actually in the process of starting a hiking company, like to take people on hikes.
Oh, cool.
So, and that was why there's a recording, because when we came across the baby kangaroo, they thought, how great will this be for our business to have a recording of us releasing the baby kangaroo?
Oh, my goodness. If they only knew.
Yes, if only they knew. Exactly right. So, yeah, so we started on this hike. The hike was going to, it's called the 6-foot track, and it goes, it's an overnight hike. And what we were going to do is we hiked to this lodge, stay overnight in the lodge, and then hike back out again. That was the plan.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I didn't get to the lodge, unfortunately. So, yeah. So, and it's called the Eco Lodge. So it's all like environmentally friendly, you know, like they're really mindful of all that. So we were only about 20 minutes into the hike when we're going along this, just a little, you know, when you've got long grass and then it's just parted maybe a foot width that you're walking along. Do you know what I mean? It's not actually, it's just like a footsteps width that you're going through. So it's basically long grass. There was a wire fence and there's this kangaroo just sitting on the other side of the fence. So I guess we felt relatively safe because the kangaroo's on the other side of the fence for a start. You know?
Right.
Anyway, so we were taking photos of this kangaroo and it kept like...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on.
Crunch Island. He's Jean LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenaise. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.
Bounding off and then coming back. It was, well, now in hindsight, I could tell it was distressed now. But at the time, we're just like, this kangaroo, that's weird. Like, normally they would really stay away. They wouldn't come near you. And anyway, so we all took photos of this kangaroo commenting, you know, wow, the wildlife around here is friendly, you know, coming up for a photo. We're just about to walk off and Robert, my son, said, Mum, there's a kangaroo, a baby kangaroo in the fence. And the baby was like hanging from its legs, caught in the wire. The wire was kind of twisted and the legs were kind of in it like that. So like any mum, I guess, we were like, you know, how can we help? Not thinking anything. As I say, the only time you really see kangaroos is like in zoos and wildlife parks. So, I mean, I've seen videos of people where they're, you know, like pretending boxing with kangaroos. But I know they fight each other, but we didn't think for a minute that it would be dangerous. And so the plan was one girlfriend was going to video while I untwist the, because it was literally the wire, it was two strips of wire and it had just twisted.
Right.
So we figured if we could just twist it back, the legs will drop out.
Right.
And the other friend, she had her walking poles, so she was going to try and fend off the mum while we're releasing the baby.
Oh my gosh.
So I go up to the fence. Yeah, I know. I don't know why I was the volunteer, but I was. So as I approached the baby, you said you saw the video.
Yeah.
You can hear the kangaroos growling.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
They growled.
That. It's amazing. Yeah. And it's a very, like, throaty, like that. It was frightening. I didn't know they did that. So as I went towards the baby, it starts growling. And then it goes off, hops around, comes back in, like lunges in, growling. Oh, it was really frightening. And so every time she'd come forward, I'd like back off because you didn't know what she was going to do.
Right.
Anyway, I just couldn't get the wire apart. It was very hard to part. And we were on a little bit of an embankment and I slipped. So while we were on our feet, she was threatening us but not coming at us, you know, just trying to scare us.
I see.
But I slipped and fell over. And she came straight under that fence and was on top of me the minute I was on the ground.
Oh, no.
She took advantage of that. Number one, who knew that a kangaroo is coming under the fence? We thought, if anything, she'll jump over it.
Right.
And, yeah, so she came through. I don't remember. I remember her claws, like, coming towards me like that. And then, well, I can see in the video I kicked her off, but I don't remember that. The next thing I remember, I had turned over onto my stomach and she was like pounding on my back, like with the big legs, you know, the big feet at the back.
Right.
So, yeah. So, because I thought from my memory, I thought that her claws must have scratched me. But when I saw the video and slowed it down, it's her back, the big claw on the back foot that has got my leg. But I didn't realize I'd been cut. I didn't know. So I remember being on my tummy and I'm going, help, like get her off me. By this time the recording's finished, but I could feel her like slamming onto my back. I had a backpack on, so that probably saved my back somewhat because I had bruises all over my back. But then she just stopped. The girls were like whacking her with the hiking poles and everything, and she just went. But she went like maybe, I don't know, 50 meters away, or maybe 20 meters away from us. And we were like just panicked, you know, like, what the hell? You know what I mean?
Wow.
And then I was on the ground. I went to get up and I looked down at my leg and my calf muscles hanging off my leg. So I didn't, yeah, I was like, oh, and I just grabbed my leg to hold the muscle on. Oh, it was horrible.
Oh, my goodness.
And, oh, it was terrifying. But no one else knew that I'd been cut. So I'm holding my leg and I'm going, I need a towel. I need something. Like, I need something around my leg. And they didn't know why I was saying this. In the end, I said to Robert, take off your jacket. I need your jacket. So I tied my jacket around. It was just awful. Oh, I haven't even looked at that photo that I sent you. I haven't even looked at that properly yet. It was traumatic.
Big are kangaroos? I was just wondering, how much do they weigh?
So I don't know what they weigh. I mean, they can be over 6 foot tall, the big males. This fortunately was not a big one. This was a mum. She was probably, I'm about 5'9". She might've been maybe 5 foot tall.
Okay.
So like when standing up, but not big, but of course they're all muscle, like the mountain lions, anything. They're just muscle, aren't they?
Right.
So just powerful. Ugh. But yeah, so when I got up, I, of course, couldn't walk because I'm trying to hold my leg together, and my friends helped me up the hill eventually. I mean, I fell over a few times because I'm trying to hop and hold my leg at the same time. And then my friend Jo, she said, let's just have a look at it, like we'll open it up and see, because I'm straight away, isn't it funny, your thoughts? I'm straight away going, oh, I don't want to spoil the hike for anybody. I'm thinking, oh, it should be okay. But
it'll be fine.
No, it wasn't okay.
How far were you from where you parked? Oh,
well, we had walked for about 20 minutes at that point away from the car. Once we kind of realised I could not go on, because when I saw my leg and I saw my, it was like in two pieces, I'm like, okay, I don't want to spoil it for everyone. We should be okay. And we happen to see where this hike goes. It goes along like a bit of a road. Then through, you go over people's properties, but big. We're in outback now, so we're out in the bush. So there was a winery not far. We could see it way in the distance. Well, there happened to be a car going along this old dirt track. So my friend's daughters, they waved down the car. She was actually on her way to the winery to go to work. So she came over. She was a local, luckily, and she said, look, by the time we call an ambulance, they'll never find you, because we were way back of, well, what we say here, the back of whoop whoop. That means like in the middle of nowhere. And she said, by the time the ambulance gets here, I could have you at the hospital already, because she knew the roads and what have you, because she'd been born in this area. She'd lived there all her life. So they wrapped a bandage over the top of the jacket because there was no way I was going to let that jacket off my leg. So we had the jacket on my leg and then bandage wrapped around that. And she, long story short, she drove me to the hospital. And, yeah, that's when it started kicking in. Oh, goodness, I was really scared then, because I'm like, what's going to become of my leg? And then it was really hurting. Once we were on our way to the hospital, it was... Yeah, it was the worst pain I've ever had. I mean, nothing compared to some of your other survival stories, but for me, massive. So.
Well, when the adrenaline wears off, right, then you start feeling that pain.
Exactly. Said at the hospital, if the claw had gone in further up on my groin, it could have been fatal, but it wasn't, thank goodness. So it could have. And luckily...
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
I don't know what made me turn over, maybe just out of survival. I turned over because, I mean, she could have ripped open my chest, anything. So I was just lucky it was my lower leg. So
that's what I was just going to say. I think it's interesting that you did that because obviously that was instinctual because it happened so quickly.
Yes. Yeah. I just remember her coming through the fence and next minute I'm on my tummy trying to crawl away. Yeah. I don't remember her being on me when I was on my back. It's so quick, I guess.
Did you have any other injuries? How was your back feeling the next day after being jumped on multiple times?
Oh, yeah, it was pretty bruised. I had a lot of bruises. You could see, like, the imprint of her. You know how they have that long foot at the back? I could see an imprint of that. I had quite a few bruises on me. Like, I was scratches and stuff, so,
You know, before that wore off, you should have just gone to the tattoo artist and had them tattoo the... Just as a reminder.
Yeah, I was actually kicking myself, but I didn't take a photo of them when they, about 2 weeks later, I thought, I should take a photo of that. I wish that I'd kind of taken a photo closer to when it happened, but didn't think of it at the time.
These stories are not very common. You made it sound like this isn't something that people really expect.
No, that's right. No, absolutely. And we were actually talking about, so my friends, they ended up not going ahead with their hiking company. And but we said at the time, you know, the fact that they would be taking probably tourists, I mean, we were friends, so it didn't matter, but never again would you go near, to this day, I'd never go near a baby animal again in distress. I would call the professionals and let them know that it's there.
Right.
But yeah, everyone I've spoken to has said, I would have done the same. Like, you see a baby animal there, you just want to try and help it, you know?
Right. And it seemed like such an easy thing to do. Just pull that wire apart for 2 seconds.
Exactly. That was exactly right. It was just, if we can just part the wire, the baby will fall out, it'll hop off, off it goes, end of story. So yeah, it seemed like it was easy. And like I said, I didn't realize the kangaroo would attack. But I mean, now think about it, it's stupid. Of course it's going to attack. It wants to protect its baby. But at the time, you're not thinking that. It's just, you know, just your instinct to help out.
Right.
The way we could walk my leg.
Did you ever find out what happened to the baby kangaroo?
Yes. Once they put a bandage around my leg and I was waiting for this lady to take me to the hospital, she actually called her husband. He came along with his truck and he drove down to where the baby was. The kangaroo was still very distressed and coming at him, but he had his truck parked right near it, so it couldn't attack him. It was still trying to get at him, but it couldn't do anything. So he cut the wire and got the baby out. I don't know what happened from there. I mean, I'd say they took it for some treatment because it may have had broken legs. I don't know. Oh. So,
well, hopefully little pumpkin is out there jumping around still.
I know. Yeah, hopefully it was okay. But, yeah. There's a place in Australia called Wires and it's a wildlife rescue. And yeah, if we'd been smart about it, we would have just called them and said there's baby kangaroo stuck in a fence, but we didn't think of that.
I mean, honestly, it just seems like most people probably would have done the exact same thing that you did. I would imagine I would have done that same thing.
Yeah.
Right. So now we're educating the world. Now people know don't go near kangaroo babies. Even if they're in distress.
Don't go near it.
Unless you're a trained professional.
Exactly. Yes, exactly right. So when I got to the hospital, like, they gave me morphine and cleaned out the wound and were irrigated and stuff. But, of course, then it got an infection because of the dirt in the animal or what have you. So it was like 3 months before it completely healed over because an infection happened and that's when that whole kind of showed itself. So it was all full of gunky stuff. I had to go every day to get it treated, and it was awful. But
so
anyway,
do you have any
lovely scar now?
Do you have any problems now when you're walking? Do you feel that spot at all?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, that's no, amazing.
Not at all. Yes. Yeah, well, the surgeon said that it missed any major arteries and nerves on my leg, so that was good.
Oh, that's so lucky.
Yes. Yeah. It was lucky. And the scar is horrible. It's like, like a 15-centimeter scar, but, you know, I can live with that.
Do people ever ask you about it, about the scar?
Enough. So it happened December 16th, 1922. And we went to Hawaii. So we were booked to go to Hawaii for a holiday that summer.
Oh.
For us summer. And so then we couldn't go. We put it off. Well, when we did eventually go, it was the April. So that was in the December. We ended up going in the April. And when I was on the beach in Hawaii, I was trying not to get it sunburned. I didn't want to get the scar sunburned to make it more prominent. Well, that's what I'd heard. So I had this, and funny enough, I was speaking to a lady on the beach that was American, and she was asking me, oh, you know what happened? And she was like, oh my God. Right back, looked up the video, and so she was quite fascinated. So a couple of people asked me, but I mean, Australians, most people have said they would do the same. I mean, a few people have said, oh my goodness, like, don't go near it. But yeah, I didn't know that.
It's like a reminder, I guess, of, you know, how unpredictable the world of nature is, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's an okay scar to have compared to some of the other kinds of scars that you could have, you know? It's like it was an accident, but it wasn't something that, I don't know. What, working in urgent care, people would do all sorts of things. And most accidents that leave scars are completely ridiculous, you know? So if you're going to have a scar, you might as well have a cool story to back it up with.
A good story. Exactly right. That's what my friends say. At least you've got a good story.
Right?
A very small amount of people get attacked by kangaroos a year. Most of them are, apparently what they do is, a lot of people get attacked saving their dog from a kangaroo because the dog will chase the kangaroo. And apparently, this is a fun fact, the kangaroo will lead the dog to water by going towards water, and then they drown the dog in the water.
I have seen some videos of that happening. What does it do to the dog once the dog is deceased? Just walks away?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because they don't eat them. So.
Right. It's just like...
yeah, they just drown it.
Just to be like, this is what you get. If you're going to chase me, I'm going
to
just...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, wow. Just to get rid of the threat, I guess. Yeah. I've seen a few videos where the person gets hurt because they're saving their dog. Oh, that was what I read too, because I had a lot of recovery time just sitting on the lounge, as you can imagine. And one of the majority of attacks are people feed kangaroos, and then when you run out of food, the kangaroo doesn't like it, and then they get nasty. So good thing for Americans to know.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. Yeah. So they can, if you run out of food, they don't like it.
That's
so,
like a bear. Bears do that too. Bears, they get a taste of human food and then they, I don't know.
Yeah.
I should post the picture from the neighborhood right behind me. They had a bear that was getting into all of the vehicles and a car was completely annihilated by this bear. And then a few weeks later, it got into one of our cars. It opened up the door.
Have a bear in your car.
Yes, that was this. That's what happened. Yeah, the little bear paw prints like all over the seat of the car and all over the back seat of the car. I think it was the same one. I think it was the same one that totally annihilated the one in the neighborhood above us.
Wow.
But there must have been food in there, or maybe it got locked in the car. Like, I think maybe the door closed and it couldn't get out or something. I don't know. But it was pretty dramatic. You won't believe it. When you see the photo, you will not believe it.
Oh, I love to look at that. My son loves looking at those fail army videos. I don't know if you see them, but they have them on YouTube.
Okay.
And it's all like animal fails or human, like when someone's doing something stupid, they fall off a log into a river or, you know, that kind of stuff. And there's often ones with, you know, bears have gotten into a car and the door's shut behind them and stuff like that. It's hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably not in real life.
What I wonder is, like, if a bear gets stuck in your vehicle, how do you get it out? Like, do you really want to be the person opening the door? I don't think so.
Exactly right. But would it run off out of fear, or would it go for you? That's the thing, isn't it?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to find out. That's all I know.
No. Nah. Get a long pole and prise the door open.
Right. So, yeah.
It's funny, actually. I was actually just thinking, Australia has, I think, 90% of all the venomous snakes in the world and spiders, and I get attacked by a kangaroo.
That's actually probably preferred, you know, because...
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh,
definitely.
Snake bites?
Definitely.
Like, where we live, we have, you know, we have grizzly bears and mountain lions, but we don't have really poisonous snakes. So it's all a trade-off, right? Yeah. I mean, do you want the predator you can see or the one you can't see? I don't know.
That's right.
Either way.
Yeah, yeah.
You're in harm's way.
Yeah, the thought of, I don't like... You know, some people like snakes and that. I don't like it. Oh, yuck. I hate snakes.
So I grew up with one of my friends, my childhood friends, her dad actually raised snakes and sold snakes and Gila monsters for a living. Like, that's what he did when we were kids.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, they had drawers of snakes, and then they had a rodent shed where they bred all of the rodents. Yeah. It just gets better and better.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that. My son's science teacher, he's actually a snake catcher as well, actually. He's a teacher at school. That he does that on the side, like rescues snakes if they, you know, if someone phones and, oh, there's a snake in my back garden or whatever. He's the guy that comes out and gets the snake and rehomes it.
Like rehomes it to the outdoors or rehomes it to the someone's indoors? Okay. Well, this was...
Yeah, no, to the outdoors.
Yeah, this was like he bred these snakes and sold them to people all over the place that just like wanted this particular snake as a pet.
Oh.
Yeah.
I can't imagine wanting a snake.
No.
No.
I can't either.
No.
Well, Melanie, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Welcome.
Well, this was so much fun.
All right. Well, lovely to meet you.
Oh, lovely to meet you too. Thank you for supporting us. I appreciate it so much.
Love your show.
Thanks. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Crux True Survival Stories. If you have a survival story you would like to share or a story you'd like us to tell, please reach out to us at thecruxsurvival@gmail.com or on Instagram at @thecruxpodcast. A special thanks to Melanie for enduring my tech issues and working with me despite a 16-hour time difference. Thank you so much, Melanie, for participating and sharing your incredible story. And to all of our listeners, thank you for supporting us and spreading the word about our podcast to your friends and family. Stay safe out there and keep adventuring. Have a wonderful week, and you'll be hearing more stories from us next week.
My name is Nicole Kidman, and I've wanted to do a rom-com for so long, and along came A Family Affair. It's a great romantic comedy, and it's laugh out loud. If you feel like, I just need to curl up and watch something that feels very comforting, it's the Netflix experience. There's laughter and there's joy. That's A Family Affair.
A Family Affair, starring Nicole Kidman, Zac Efron, and Joey King. Directed by Richard LeGravenaise. Rated PG-13. Sexual content, partial nudity, and some strong language. Only on Netflix, June 28th.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease, plus it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunchberries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunchberry.
No!
No one steals my Crunchberries.
I think you mean my Crunchberries. Choose your own Crunchventure with Cap'n Crunch.
True or false? Walmart has eye care. True. Stop by Walmart to save and browse top designer frames right where you already shop. And they accept most insurance. Welcome to Easy Eye Care. Welcome to your Walmart.